This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry about that, reminiscing, looking at some old San Diego Charger highlights. Gates, obviously going to the Hall of Fame. Now, finding out yesterday, somebody posted some clips of him and Troy Polamalu going at it.
Gates probably got open, and then when Polamalu caught him, he probably tackled him pretty hard.
Yeah, no, he definitely paid the price.
Those are both great players.
Yeah, for sure. Soon to be, or both now, Hall of Famers. So
that's right.
We're in the happy hour, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of happiness takes place in this hour most of the time, except when Scraby's having a bad day. Scraby's, how's your day going today? Good?
Wow. Yeah, the day's going great. I don't think that I make things bad when I'm having a bad day.
You kind of do, but it's all good.
The dog walks have been great this week, so.
We haven't heard from him, so we assume that...
Kept the leash
things
on.
Things has gone smooth. You followed
change.
The rules that had the dogs on the leash.
Yes, I will now tell everybody that now that I'm a rule follower and I have the dogs on the leash, mainly because I'm so afraid of them running away again. Like that Monday scarred me, guys. It really did.
It sounded like it did.
I ran down the street screaming touch, and it was just a whole lot of stuff because that's their key word to come back. Now when I see people without dogs on, or their dogs on a leash, I'm like, why ain't you got your dog on the leash?
You better show him grace.
I don't say
you
anything.
You better show him grace, Scrape. You were one of those consistent rule breakers.
But here's the thing. When I was a dog walker, or when I am a dog walker and I have him off the leash, if I see someone half a mile away, they're going back on the leash. And there's some people just don't do that.
There's always a chance you're distracted before that point comes. And
I get it.
You know?
I get it.
You should.
It's more the people that, like, don't put their dog on a leash as we're walking by. I've always done that. My dogs sometimes
except
run.
Except the one time they got away from
yeah,
you.
My dogs sometimes run towards other dogs, and then I'm left chasing them. Anyway, yeah, good day, Tony.
I thought I should bring it up. We were just talking about some of the smaller market baseball teams and the effect that...
And that they hide behind that.
Yes.
To not spend money.
I don't know that Major League Baseball is helping this matter at all. I don't know if we discussed this yesterday with you guys, but yesterday, I think it was actually the same day the word came down that the Padres...
Yeah, it was yesterday. We did not discuss it on the show.
It was yesterday.
I definitely ranted about it on the Scraby Show.
What's my man's name? Oakland's
John
owner.
Fisher.
John Fisher.
The owner.
I was going to call him Jeff Fisher, but I knew that wasn't right. John Fisher was voted to be on the owner's committee. Yes, this is the committee that...
Who voted this?
The owners.
The other owners.
All the other owners. This is the committee that when it comes time to collective bargaining, he will be a part of it along with the Rockies owner as well.
No wonder they just can't get out of their own way baseball.
And that's what I'm saying. So
I mean, get a mover or a shaker on the committee.
Do you remember?
They don't want that.
Do you remember all of the conversation, like when the whole move was happening and people were like, why don't the owners just get rid of this guy? Clearly, they don't seem to dislike him at all. I mean, he just got a nice, cozy committee position.
Didn't he not have to give them all a ton of money to move his franchise, or do you not have to do that?
I think you do have to pay a relocation fee, I think it's called.
So everybody gets a bunch of money from you? You're not, you know, I know that George Steinbrenner used to, I don't know if it was ever actually published, but they used to say that George Steinbrenner was really happy with all of the crappy owners in baseball because he felt those are teams he didn't have to worry about trying to beat.
He didn't
want to invite anybody else into baseball that was going to try to, you know, beat him.
Right.
So he was thrilled with the Orioles spending no money and Tampa Bay not signing anybody. And, you know, so I think there's two kinds of owners.
Yes.
One that doesn't want to spend money and the other one who doesn't want the other teams to spend money.
Listen, I don't know, it's much easier
to win that way.
I don't know how the Steinbrenners came into their money, but clearly the OG Steinbrenner was in it for reasons not just to make money. He clearly wanted to win, which
yes.
is why he was, you know, disliked.
And he took so much criticism, whereas the owners of all the teams that just sat in the middle of the rankings for 25 straight years, nobody said a word.
No.
There's something wrong with that picture, honestly.
He was proactive in trying to help his team win.
And I hate to say it, but the same thing is happening right now. The Dodgers are going overboard to try to win. The Mets are trying to win. Everyone in baseball wants rule changes to prevent this from happening. Instead of asking the rest of the owners to step up. This is what I think you're getting at, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, We're supposed to cry here in San Diego about the owner of the Dodgers, but yeah, I don't think we have to because I like what, you know, our club's doing. We don't have as much to keep, you know, compete, but we have a, you know, we're doing all right. But yeah, all these other teams are like, well, the Dodgers. Well, you've all got tons of money.
It was, speaking of the Steinbrenners, it was quite rich of their owner.
Their owner came out and Hal Steinbrenner said, oh, the Dodgers shouldn't do this. Yeah.
It's all funny to me.
I think it's very disconcerting for me that John Fisher is being put on the executive committee because it's
you
like,
think, can you think of you a think, worse owner?
If, yeah, exactly. If you're going to put the guy who can't even figure out his own team on the executive committee, what are you doing? This is a slap in the face to baseball fans because they're telling me right now that a guy who doesn't care about his team can just take over it on the executive level.
He can be helpful to us somehow.
Yeah, somehow. Even though he can't even figure out his own team.
I would say in a lot of instances, not just in sports, in life in general, insecure, powerful people like to surround themselves with people they know aren't that great.
Are we talking about Rob Manfred here?
I'm talking about a bunch of the owners out there that just say, let's put somebody on here who's not as smart as we are. Make sure that we still have our voice. Mark Cuban, to me, is a perfect example of this when he was with the Dallas in the NBA. He drove everybody crazy. But you know what? Mark Cuban was trying to advance the game.
Yeah.
He was trying to put ideas in their minds that they weren't thinking about.
Right.
They were very uncomfortable with Mark Cuban. Much rather have somebody that just toes the line. So, you know, in that regard, I understand why they bring in. Who's the worst guy we can bring in to fill this open position?
Well, Dick's already on the executive committee, Dick Monfort. So, yeah. John Fisher, he's the next guy.
Let's give him somebody to talk to.
So, are we really doing this? We have two guys with two perennially terrible teams on the executive committee.
He said Dick's already on there, so.
Like, you go to the list of the bad owners, it's Dick Monfort and it's John Fisher.
It's incredible. Right, it's incredible to me. I've not listened to sports talk in Denver, but they can't possibly bring him up nearly as much as we do. The fun we have with him on this show.
You're probably accurate on that.
But Scraby, as you get along in the world, and you're getting along, you know, already.
Yes.
You see what happens, and you get very frustrated with the world of upper, not our upper management, but in general, people who have a lot of money, who are in charge, and a lot of the decisions they make, they're not great.
No, they're very tone deaf.
A lot of times it has to do with the fact that they're a bit insecure and don't want to be surrounded by other really smart people. I think, you know, it's like the managers who want to bring in the best possible coaches. And then there's a few managers that probably don't want the best possible coaches. Because that might signal to everybody else how far off, where they're lacking.
There's definitely an ego check, right? And I would imagine at that level, we're talking like ownership level, where really that is the tip, toppity tippy.
It's hard for us to know because we're not ever going to be quite in their shoes.
No, none of us will ever be in that their shoes. The next 10 years.
I'm going to win the lottery, okay?
But I think that at that level, I would imagine checking your ego is probably a difficult task at that level.
Well, yeah, these guys are the... Everybody just says yes to them all the time. I this actually does make me angry because it's putting baseball in a bad spot when you name the two worst owners in baseball to the executive committee.
Now, that being said, Dick Monfort was leading the charge, I believe, in the last collective bar. It got done.
It did.
It got done.
We missed the start of the season, though.
We did.
It got done.
It got done, though.
Tony's giving a little credit where it might be due.
That's where it ends, though.
Fine.
That's where
I'll give him credit for getting the CBA done.
I will say, speaking of basketball, Chris mentioned it earlier. Anthony Davis did speak to the media today. There has been a lot of anticipation in the next. This is their first home game since the Luka trade. A lot of anticipation. There's going to be some boos. We saw the coffin and different things brought
to Dallas Maverick officials are bracing for like people to bring. You know, detonate explosives in the arena tomorrow night or whenever their home game
Chris
is.
Chris is not joking. They have extra
security. They are really worried about this. Yeah.
What's the GM name? Nico
Harrison.
Nico Harrison.
Nico's not. Getting he shouldn't even threats. Go. He should not go to this game.
He's
tomorrow
getting
night.
Death threats.
Yeah, he shouldn't go tomorrow.
It is. They have.
That's when
truly
you
lost their mind.
That's like. I'm fine with the coffins being brought to the stadium. I'm fine with people protesting. But when you start sending death threats, I think you've crossed the line.
Yeah. So
yes, they're home tomorrow. It's a noon game against the Rockets.
Home the next five. So
yeah.
I do hope they get it all out of their system the first game back, and then like actually look out on the court and see you got a pretty good.
What if
Friday.
They keep winning because they beat the Celtics
yeah,
the other night?
I that might be the thing that gets this thing to calm down a little bit quicker. So
well, Anthony Davis said the right thing.
He did.
He said, "I'm going to just show them how good I am until I win them over." And I like that attitude.
That's the best. That's the only attitude to really have.
Real quick, I didn't pay off on my tease. The Padres reportedly signed Connor Joe Powegian. That was my tease before the last break.
You said an infielder too?
He said we got an outfielder and an infielder, which means two players.
And then I said a utility man, which means three players. So I started over. And it's Connor Joe reportedly on the Padres.
All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic.
Welcome back. 519 the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Scraby's Chronicles headed your way at 6 o'clock. This is out of deep left field. Name the one state in the union, the United States, that is only one syllable. Who can get it first? So only out of 50 states, only one state is one syllable. I love to throw you guys some trivia, and I bet you everybody in their car way home is trying to think of it, too. Scrolling through all the states.
What's
the one that's one syllable?
I can't remember what a syllable is, but...
Just take a claps.
You don't know what a syllable
is. Tennessee.
Okay, my guess is...
Tennessee would be three syllables.
My guess is Vermont.
That's two syllables.
So I can just start clapping.
Yes, that's how you do it.
Utah?
Utah. That's two syllables. How
syllables
do you not know
stupid.
What a syllable is?
I do, but I don't like them.
I can't think of it. Don't tell me. No.
Did you, go to school at all?
Let's just do
no.
through,
I mean, you
through
said you
segment.
Were. You said you were Kevin O'Connell's friend. You must have met him at school. Maybe you just met him at the...
I was raised by wolves.
Yeah. What the hell?
And they didn't teach me about syllables.
Syllable?
Hold on.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, wait.
Say it.
Oh, I know.
Maine.
Got it. Tony.
Boom.
Very good.
You beat me.
Maine.
Well, everyone was going to beat
say
you because you didn't even know that Iowa's not...
Iowa.
That's three syllables and four letters.
Oh, Ernie got it on the chat before we did. Good job, Ernie.
Doesn't count, Ernie, because we didn't see it, buddy. Sorry.
Very good. All right. Thank goodness.
Real quick, can I share this with
you? Oh, yeah.
The other day when the Lakers were beating on the Clippers at their place. You know, we talked about the wall. You guys know about
the fan wall.
Fan wall. They had a pretty good one. They somehow had the big face of LeBron. And they had him with hair.
Oh, yes.
They had Clippers. And they removed his hairline. With the Clippers.
As the game was going along?
I assume as he was shooting free throws.
Oh, wow, that is good.
It was pretty clever, I must say.
That is really good.
I saw it on the net today, and I was like,
very good.
Pretty
Clippers,
clever.
Yeah.
That is clever. Using Clippers at a Clippers game?
Huh? Even better.
Yeah.
All right, so this is like, Scraby gets to talk about the 49ers like every 10 minutes. So
we're going Dolphins.
We're
going
to go a little Dolphins.
I know
here.
Where you're
clean
going.
Clean up on aisle 10?
I just want to, for what? Tyreek Hill, yeah. No, that I was going to get to that. Yeah, Tyreek apologized and said he loves the Dolphins. You know what? I believe that for about the next 5 minutes, and then
something will change. Goes wrong for
exactly.
him, they'll be mad again.
The story I wanted to get into is Dan Marino... One of the all-time greats is a special advisor to Dolphins owner Stephen Ross. And Marino has discovered the problem with the Dolphins.
Oh, gosh.
He said, all we have to do is keep Tua healthy. Duh. Thank you, Dan.
Wow.
I love you, Dan, but... Really?
Maybe that's his
nice way. That's what you've come up with?
Maybe that's his nice way of trying to push the owner, Mr. Ross. Hey, we need an offensive line.
Yes, get an offensive line. It's not that difficult. Chris Greer, who is the Dolphins' general manager, and in my estimation does quite the poor job, you know, talks about, well, Tua's got to be, you know, he's got to know how to protect himself.
Okay.
He's going to get hit. He knows that, but he's got to be able to, you know, stop taking chances, no risk. It's unacceptable to us. But he's in that position because he's running for his life.
Right.
He's trying to make a play for you on fourth down to win a game. And that's how he got hurt in the Buffalo game earlier this year. It was a fourth down that they had to have to keep their hopes of winning the game alive. So he went for it. I don't blame him at all.
Do you think the GM doesn't think the offensive line needs work? Is it possible that
right.
he thinks that?
Right. I don't know. They don't improve it. I mean, you watch Miami games not as closely probably as I do, Tony. But when he drops back to pass, there's almost always a guy there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, have a clue. And, you know, when you talk about why they never threw deep to Tyreek Hill this year, A, I think because Mike McDaniels and Chris Greer don't want to leave Tua back there. But B, because they don't have time to go deep anyway.
And they probably know that, which is
right.
why they don't want him back
so,
there throwing
you know,
deep passes.
I think it's up to them to figure out a way, you know, to protect him or help protect him. You know what you have. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have, you know, Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray. You have this guy, and you've paid him everything you own, you know, to be your quarterback. He completed 73% last year. That's pretty insane.
Well, I mean, if you're throwing short passes, you got a better chance.
Well,
of that.
That's true. Yeah, he didn't have no choice. Yeah.
What's his dot? Depth of target?
Yeah, 1 yard. About, maybe even less than 1 yard.
I gotta go see this then.
It might be less because they throw
that bubble
that
screen
stupid
thing,
screen
yeah.
10 times a game. Yeah, I look, Tua has shown the ability to be accurate, and I think he can be accurate down the field because I've seen
it. He's shown that, too.
He has. But this is ridiculous that your organization doesn't surround you with what's necessary for him to have a chance to be successful.
Listen,
so it bothers me, and Dan Marino's like, solved it all.
You know,
no, you haven't, Dan.
You know what we're all coming to the conclusion of is there are very few organizations in all sports that do it right.
Yeah, right.
There just aren't a lot. There just aren't a lot. There are a bunch of smart organizations that have different ideas on how to do it right, but there are the same organizations in each sport that consistently we're talking about.
By the way, Jason Stark brought something up yesterday, and he loves baseball.
Yeah.
And he's right. The big complaint in baseball right now is that it's not fair to all the teams. Only one or two teams is legit and can win.
Not true.
Here's the funny thing. Football has had like three teams win the Super Bowl in the last 10
right,
years.
Right.
Baseball's had 10 World Series champs in 10 years.
Yep.
So which sport is broken?
Who has more parity?
Right. Which sport is broken? I mean, the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills have been at the top of the AFC for as long as I can remember, and the Eagles and the 49ers saved this year.
Right.
And you know, a couple of others there in the NFC. It's the same group pretty much every year. In baseball, it's normally somebody different that gets to the World Series.
That's a great
something to keep in mind.
That the parity in baseball, it's pretty legit.
People don't think there's parity, though.
No.
We don't think there's no parity in baseball. Football is the one where anybody can beat anybody. Not really.
It doesn't actually work that way.
Doesn't work that way. The Chiefs
basketball might be worse than football.
I would agree because you've got a 7-game series. It's really difficult for the poorer team to win four times. They might be able to win one or two, but four doesn't happen.
All right, the closest I found to the ADOT, the adjusted
depth of
target.
What is this, an analytical thing?
Yes, I can't find the actual number, but air yards per attempt
okay.
is close enough. Tua was 22nd in the NFL, 3.8, meaning
4 yards in the air the ball's traveling. Forward.
On average per attempt, yes.
He's ahead of somebody? He's with 4 yards?
Who are the guys behind him, below him?
Drake. Do I have to sort this? Oh, I got to sort this. But he's still, that means he's lower, Chris. That means he's way lower.
Well, he should.
He's 42nd in the NFL.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we watched the game, Scrape. We know what's happening here.
They don't throw the ball.
42nd, ain't that many quarterbacks?
Because backups. And,
oh, so the backups got above him?
Right above him is... oh my gosh, Hendon Hooker, who is like a wide receiver, even has a better air yards than Tua. Davis Mills is above Tua. Aiden O'Connell, Tyler Huntley, Mason Rudolph.
You're not telling me anything I haven't been complaining about for the last 2 years.
It's true.
You hear me complain about this stuff all the time.
Who do you think, now that I'm on this page, who do you think had the most 50-yard-plus passes this year?
My man, Jeff's brother.
Jared, you're right.
Very good.
He had eight. Tua actually had 3.
I don't remember them. Just like when they announced that Chop Robinson last night, finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he did this, that, and the other. I didn't see any of it. Yeah. All right, we got a break. I don't know what Scraby's got for the final segment, so you'll have to come back. Maybe the life story of Connor Joe.
All started in Poway.
That's right.
In 19-something.
We'll let you in on it when we return.
Listen up, listen up, listen up. Troy Hunsberger of Chula Vista. Congratulations. Give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. That's Troy Hunsberger of Chula Vista. Give us a call back. You're on the clock, buddy.
Tick, tick, tick.
We were very fortunate yesterday to have San Diego's greatest broadcaster ever, and Theodore Leitner join us. He was hilarious. He was insightful. He was everything that we have come to know and love about Theodore. We got a lot of comments who basically saying how much they enjoyed hearing his voice, having him
people
on.
People want us to have him on every week, and we've got back to all those people. Start saving up your money, and we'll try to entice Ted. If we can.
You think Ted needs a paycheck to come on every week?
But it wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt at all for coming on every week.
And he's only been, talking for
50 years.
At least.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? Should we traffic ready?
Give it 30 more seconds.
Before we go to that, we're going to do Ted. I just wanted to congrats, or at least a quick shout out here, speaking of Aztecs. San Diego State softball team. May have something this year. They're highly ranked. They're favored to win their conference. They opened up their season yesterday. They won their first game. Their second game last night here in San Diego was against Oklahoma.
Ooh.
Number 2 in the country this
Powerhouse.
Year. And they win the national championship every year pretty much. Aztecs had them 5-5 into extra innings, 6-6 after the 8th inning. And then Oklahoma beat them in the 9th, which is the second extra inning. But you take Oklahoma to extra innings, that tells me you might have a squad.
Yeah.
So good luck to the Aztec softball team.
Softball team has been on
been
the rise for
who did we interview last year, Chris? She left, though.
She did. One of the big sluggers, Mac Barbara.
Mac Barbara, that's
yeah,
it.
She hit was, the she ball was a country mile.
She was fun.
Yeah, she did. She went in the transfer portal. But evidently, they have a good team. So, you softball fans, that's a fun day. Go out to a ball game. They had 1,200 people at the softball stadium last night to see Oklahoma.
It's getting close to that time. I mean, softball starts, I think.
Baseball.
Baseball starts. Mm-hmm. They think they start their season actually in Arizona. I think the week of pitchers and catchers reporting at San Diego State plays in a big tournament down there. So,
yeah.
Getting to that point of the year.
Good luck to all those kids.
Indeed. All right, let's get to our traffic and then to Theodore.
I'm Vicki Pepper with Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Ted Leitner joins us. Theodore, how are you, my friend?
Guys, how are things? And okay on this end, and you sound great. Love listening to you on The Fan and all that good stuff.
Theodore, I got to ask you, man, you had a pretty cool ceremony last week at the VAS Arena. You had a bunch of players in town. to see it. I mean, I know it's bittersweet for you because I know you love doing what you have had the opportunity to do for a very long time. But how did it make you feel seeing these guys come back and just going through that ceremony?
Play-by-play to me, T, you know, is like David Letterman used to say, it's more most fun you can have with your clothes on, and that's a fact. That's a fact. And you know what got me that I did not know? Because, you know, when you're standing on the court and you can't see above you where they were having clips from Coach Fisher, Coach Dutch, and myself, I couldn't hear that stuff in the echo of the arena. So I didn't get a chance to really see much or hear much. So I saw a tweet or an X post, whatever, that said from an Aztec fan that said, what got me was the players after they had all been introduced, the alumni who had come back. Shake, you know, Adam Seiko and X Thames and all these and Nolan Lorraine and all these guys, that they were all standing there and applauding me and smiling and like that. And I thought that's what touched me the most, that those guys who gave me so much pleasure in watching them play, and some of them in an astounding way, like X and Adam Seiko, that touched me, I think, more than anything, in addition to the fact that Coach Fisher was there and on the video along with Dutch. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. I've not had many things like that. I've had them with the Padres at the end of my career, which was wonderful. And, of course, their Hall of Fame induction ceremony with the great late Larry Lucchino. But this one with the Aztecs was my best Aztec evening of all time.
Ted Leitner's with us, and you know, I mean, these you guys don't remember any of this. I'm talking to Tony and Scraby, but I mean, I was really introduced to you watching you on Channel 8 making fun of hockey fights, and you know that I love that from the very beginning, right? I mean, I moved to San Diego to go to San Diego State, and I mean, Ted Leitner was my source for sports, and you know, just the fact that you would sit there night after night without a script and do these sports reports, and then you know the radio shows, and then the Chargers and the Padres and the World Series and the Aztecs and the Final Four, and I'm thinking, your baseball card, the back of your baseball card has a whole lot of stuff on it, Ted. I you don't want to look back. You know, you still got to look ahead. There's a lot of good life for you, but you got to be pretty proud of what you've been able to accomplish.
You know, I wasn't then because I was younger and stupid. I look at it now, and I'm overwhelmed by it. I never expected it. In fact, I had an exchange of texts with my former news director, Jim Holtzman, at Channel 8, who was greatly, greatly responsible for my career and for everything I have in San Diego, certainly in this particular community. And it's true, I didn't appreciate it at the time. Like many, I think many young people, you don't stop to smell the roses. But I look back at it now, and part of that has been Twitter/X. And seeing comments from people that just, you can't buy that. It's just unbelievable. One of my favorites, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back, it's just to show you what I'm talking about, was a family that had texted me, or rather not texted me, but gone on online back when it was Twitter, called Twitter, and said, we were on vacation in Santa Barbara. And we got in the car at the end of the vacation to drive home to San Diego. And we got in the car, we put on the Padre game. And there was Uncle Teddy's voice. And my husband looked at me and said, hey, it's Uncle Teddy. It's like we're already home. That touched me, that kind of stuff. And I listened to it with my grandfather and father. They're both gone now. But I hear your voice and I think of them. And I've had people come up to me traveling with the Aztecs, one in Fort Collins at the Colorado State game last year, with tears in his eyes, saying the same thing, that every time I hear your voice, I think of my dad, and he's gone now. And I want to thank you for that memory. And I never expected things like that, that you have an impact like that. You're just doing sports. It's, you know, the fun and games department, as Howard Cosell used to call it, and it is. It's not serious, though it has some serious ramifications. But I've been so blessed now to be old enough to appreciate every single minute of that. And when I went to the Padre playoff games again this year, I mean, it took me 40 minutes to get to my seat with people stopping me and wanting to do selfies and telling me thank you for all the memories. And I'm thinking, no, it's the Padres, it's the players, it's the organization that brought you those teams. I was just reporting them. But no, it impacts in ways you don't know, and I'm so grateful.
Theodore Leitner joins us, San Diego's greatest broadcaster. And Ted, I tell you all the time, you're the voice that kind of shaped baseball for me as a young kid. And like Chris, I got a chance to see you wear so many different hats. You anchored a sports show. You did the football. You did the baseball. You did the basketball. Out of all of it, what was your sweet spot? Which one did you feel most home doing?
Wow. It started out, great question, T. It started out because I was a football guy and a basketball guy from my past with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Connecticut and all that stuff. And so it was football, basketball, baseball. And I was late to baseball, and I didn't know enough about baseball. And once again, I've been so lucky. I had Jerry Coleman. First, I had Dave Campbell and Bob Chandler to teach me baseball, because you think you know baseball, like you played, that's different. But all the nuances and all the making judgments on the fly, interference, obstruction, what is it, all those things, it takes time. You can read the rule book, which I did, but to implement them, bang, 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 as they happen, it takes time to do that. And I had guys who would never correct me on the air, make me look bad. They would tell me during the commercial, hey, you said this, and when that happens, and oh, thanks, Bob, thanks, Dave. And I just had lunch with Soupy, with Dave Campbell, who was 83 last week. Wow. Oh, it can't be happening. Yeah. Soupy's 83. And thanked him again and again and again, as I have all these guys, that I had these partners who had played baseball. They knew everything, and they taught me and brought me along. So by the time I got done, especially after the internet, with all the information and great stories and what have you, and history of the game, that my favorites at the end were ordered as in baseball, basketball, football, as opposed to when I first started to answer that question. But to have all three, like you said, and the variety of talk shows on radio and the different sports of play-by-play, football, basketball, baseball, and sports, looking in that camera and being able to talk to people, I'm just, like I said, didn't remember, understand then. And I'm so, so happy and grateful for it now.
You know, just imagine how good a radio sports talk show you could have done, Ted, if you ever brought some notes with you into the studio. I mean, there's no telling what you could have accomplished.
I understand that. But that brings up something. That brings up something that I try to defend myself with, because I was ad-libbing the television. I would tell the director, I'm going to talk about the Padres, and then I'll do the basketball highlights, and then an interview with Coach Hoke or whatever it was back then. But somebody wrote a magazine article about me in San Diego one time, and she said mistakenly, he never prepares for a broadcast. Now, see, there's two different things here.
Yeah, that's
there's
not true.
There's ad-libbing.
Right.
There's ad-libbing, and there's preparing your you-know-what off, so you have all that crammed in there to when you ad-lib, you'll have those facts. You'll have that information. So, yeah, you can ad-lib, but if you don't prepare, I don't care who you are, you're going to ad-lib a bunch of gibberish and nonsense. You guys know that, because you prep for this show every single day. You're thinking about it during the day. You're thinking about it at night. Sometimes in my sleep, I would think about, what am I going to do tomorrow morning on the 7:15 sport on radio with Hudson and Bauer? What am I going to do on the first segment on Channel 8 tomorrow? And doing that and then going to look stuff up and what have you. So you have to prepare. Oh, you can't ad-lib, but everybody thought I just showed up and it came pouring out like a word hemorrhage, as I call it.
Theodore, I got to ask you, we kind of put it out there yesterday that you were coming on a show, and one of our listeners that we both know, Michael Brunker, sent me a text. He wanted me to ask you a specific question. It's the 40th anniversary of the 1985 state basketball team that went to the NCAA tournament. This is before Steve Fisher's run. He just asked for a few comments about that team and the infamous Smokey Gaines.
Oh man. We only got 10 minutes left in the we only got 10 minutes in the segment.
Yeah. That's right. When does day run out? Smoke my favorite with Smokey, and I happened to be there at that practice, that we're going first time that team was going to Laramie, 7,200 feet and the altitude and all that stuff. And the dryness and the altitude, just people don't understand, the Mountain West is so tough to travel and play in that altitude. And Smoky, Smoky. And I mentioned to him, you going to talk about altitude? He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about it. And then during the practice, I'm standing there while they're all around him. And he says, hey, listen, this altitude stuff you're hearing about, 7,000 feet at Laramie, knocking out of your mind. Don't even give it a thought. Because the gym is pressurized like a jet plane. Yes. And I'm watching him, and I'm trying not to laugh out loud, and all the players are shaking their head. Good thing. Because you won't feel it, man. It's like you don't feel it. You don't feel you're at 33,000 feet when you're flying, right? No. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it on Saturday night. That's my man. That's my man. And somebody would get one rebound, and the same old, one rebound, that's one more than a dead man. That's Smokey Gaines. God rest his soul. I loved him so much. And he was just an amazing, amazing guy to be around. And I think more than so many that I've been blessed to travel with, from Smokey and with Aztecs and with Steve Fisher, my God, a man of such dignity and class and accomplishment. Why he's not yet in the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts, I don't know. But they got to stop, don't do this like with Don Coryell till the man's not here anymore. Get it done. And now Dutch takes over for a pair of shoes, a pair of 16 double E's type shoe, and takes them even further to the Final Four and the National Championship game. And I've been on the periphery of this in the vapor trail. Larry Lucchino used to say, I'm in a vapor trail of all these important and interesting people. And the same thing with me. And it's been just wonderful to be with all these people. It's just awesome.
This year's team, Ted, the Aztecs, great start. I think that they are ahead of where we all thought they would be. But how much fun? I mean, you did the Final Four, but I mean, what they're doing again now, it just got to be great. Do you think these guys can they pull it off here? They got a lot of tough games left.
No question. And they can't afford many, if any, couple of more losses. And, the idea of no NCAA for San Diego State University Aztecs, along with Gonzaga, the powerhouse of West Coast basketball. It ain't UCLA. Look at the numbers for the last decade and a half. It's not. It goes Gonzaga, San Diego State, exactly, in terms of winning percentage, record, everything. And that would be quite a shock, young team or not. And I think what happened, we got deked. Because I thought going to that NIL Player Fest, with Creighton nationally ranked and Houston nationally ranked and even better, and Oregon, which was, I knew, going to be ranked, having watched the tapes of them in preparing for my broadcast. And I thought, they may go there and lose all three games, or rather two games. They may lose three, they may lose two out of three games because they may not be ready yet with all this marvelous young talent and the best group of freshmen I can remember in ages. And they surprised us. Because that coaching staff had them so good so early that they go out and beat Creighton and beat sixth-ranked at the time, Houston. But now they're not playing like that and still play Aztec defense, but they foul too much, don't get to the line enough, get the other team to the line too much. And they had a rebounding problem for some times that goes and comes back, and now a shooting problem. So we thought in November, wow, they're going to imagine how great they're going to be come January. And they weren't. But they sure had him ready early for that tournament, which was huge because they picked up, $1,150,000 for NIL to keep these great young freshmen like Farrow and DeGorville and Goon. So the future is so bright, but I'm surprised that they didn't, continue that with continuity. But like Dutch says, young players make mistakes and you don't know what you're going to get. But I've still enjoyed the ride because they're Aztec players. And for an old guy like me to be around kids who are 19, 20, but they're like old souls. All they think about is winning. I don't care how many minutes I get. Guys, in all my life with the Aztecs, this is year number 30 in basketball, I've never had one player, even off the record, say, hey, Ted, off the record, but I should be playing more. I'm better than that guy. And that guy, it doesn't exist. And that's so rare nowadays with players. I want to shoot the three. I want to dunk. I want to be the star. They don't exist with Aztec people. That's the way they recruit them. That's the way the seniors teach the freshmen. It's such a phenomenon. And I've been so blessed to see these kids and quite frankly, love them. Like my own kids, because they are such great kids and terrific players that kind of attitude, once again, you can't buy it. Fisher did it. Dutcher does it. and I'm so grateful to be along with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I think the proof is in the pudding. As you mentioned, those numbers right behind Gonzaga in almost all the categories over the last 10 years. Theodore, man, listen, we're going to savor getting to hear your voice on these basketball games as long as we can, man. We miss you. We're going to miss you. Theodore Leitner, graceful, funny, all of that.
Yeah, good having him on.
For sure.
A worthy interview of the week.
I'm happy you knew my name.
Are you ready for some football? That
are
is
you ready for the
where
football?
We leave this bad boy off at.
Chiefs, Super Bowl.
Eagles. Chiefs trying to three-peat. Eagles trying to make Scraby and company happy.
Hopefully.
Make everybody happy, Tony. I hate to tell you.
I mean, I know. It seems
there's not
like
too many
it.
People rooting for the Chiefs
everybody
here.
Everybody wants the Eagles to win.
I like greatness.
God, he's just flat out making fun of you.
That's all right.
Greatness.
I hope that I won't even get to come in here on Monday and dance on his grave.
No, that's why I'm doing this.
That's all right.
Don't forget. Don't forget.
I might call in just for that.
Yes, Chris, don't forget what?
The refs are favored by 4.5.
Oh, I like it.
Scraby Chronicles up next. We'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend.